You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Hey,
We out here.
We're inside a building.
We in here.
We ain't here, bro. We in a building.
We're inside.
Let's go.
Absolutely thrilled. Today we have an exciting show. We have an incredible guest. You've seen this man. I've seen him on my TikTok feed. This is, I'll be honest, TikTok is great. And it, mainly because it just, I know... China this, and they're destroying our children that, and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? TikTok introduces me to people I probably would have never really come across. Football, soccer, content creators. Ladies in bikinis dancing.
You get a lot.
Okay, my FYP is FYP.
Okay. You can figure out it's a for you and then enter your own P.
So we're excited about today's guest. I found this man on TikTok and it's just.
This is a rarity, okay? We're talking about a man who does football content and yet is positive.
And that's really why I wanted to highlight.
That is what?
Not bringing that toxicity that we normally bring. Right. Okay.
Has this man heard of England? And their content.
You're talking about an English club and bringing optimism.
Right.
No, thank you.
No. We will not have that.
No, absolutely honored to be joined on the Cooligans with the homie. John Shin, a.k.a. Good Vibes. John, what's up, bro?
What an intro. Thanks for having me.
Yes.
You know, I don't think I've ever told anybody about the origin of the name Good Vibes, but it's actually pretty stupid because...
Showed up to a party with like a lot of bags of chips and they're like,
hey,
good vibes.
No, it's even worse.
Good vibes, what's your name?
John. Good vibes, John.
I was seeing a girl for a brief moment and she was like, I don't like guys that do social media content. I live on social media for football and whatnot. Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. All right. And then I realized all of my accounts had my full name, John Shin. So I was like, all right, let me just hide this for a little bit. And I need to do it quickly. So I did it in the bathroom. I changed the name from John Shin. So I was like, what do I do? Good vibes. And I changed the good vibes, John. And that's how it happened. In the middle of some random restaurant.
That is amazing. But for a girl
First of all, I thought he was going to say like, oh, but I do it with good vibes. No, it's like, I need to change my personality to adjust so that this woman continues to go out with me.
I need to hide my identity.
I can't let her know who I really am. We need to start this relationship on a lie.
John is the plot of Catch Me If You Can.
100%.
He's a star.
For me, I'm a pilot.
No, but a girl saying I don't like a guy that does social media content. It's like in this day and age, everybody is on social media. That's like saying, oh, I don't like a guy with a refrigerator. Not a fan.
I want you to start a fire, not use a oven. What's this new technology you speak of?
If I had the confidence, I would have been like, oh, but I do this content thing immediately. I was just
I will change.
You're right.
I will change.
Because I'm here for your insert B. I'm not going to get that.
I will change my entire personality for you.
Yeah.
Hey, man, look.
What's your favorite name? That's my name now. How about that?
We've all been down bad, bro. It's all good. Yeah.
How long have you two been together? No match.
That was the first and last time, so that wrapped up pretty quick.
Amazing. Thank her for creating the brand because the brand is strong.
I was gonna say, I also feel like it leans into the vibe you bring on social media and football content, and it's important to us because it's a topic that's near and dear to our heart.
And I just want to clarify because we haven't mentioned it, but I mean, really, the dominance of your focus is on Manchester United. Manchester United.
Do that with positivity, or you seemingly don't get into the doldrums, into the negativity, which is something that we found hard to do, just doing football content since 2015. How's that just been? Just that, how this sport and its fan bases tend to attack your mental health.
Yeah, for sure. And I think for me, look, the whole joke about the changing the name is Good Vibes, although that might have been in the moment type of thing, I actually did think about it for quite some time because I think that's something that I really sort of take pride in doing.
She's like, how long is he in that bathroom?
My man is creating pitch decks in the bathroom.
Yeah. I was like going through my lines, like, okay. No, but because I've been doing, I don't know if you guys know Stretford Paddock, Full Time Devils.
Yeah, yeah,
I've been doing a lot of football content for Manchester United with these fans for quite some time. And throughout all of my time doing that, I think I've always been sort of positive. And in the early days, it was extremely tough because I had to go through the attacks, the threats, the racial slurs,
yeah,
on top of being a American fan, the all of the stuff. And
I thought you were talking about just American racial
slurs. No. I'm talking about just from all of YouTube, really. And it was really tough. But I felt much more confident and I felt much more organic talking about what I believed in, which was coming from an angle of positivity. But I'm not one of those like toxic positivity, always just blindedly positive. Right, right. I feel like true positivity comes from like an organic angle. If you're not forcing the issue, I think that's where it really comes from. And that's just pretty much been my project.
Organic.
I love it.
Damn. Okay. Okay. You speak my language.
Okay. Sounds expensive.
I like it. My man went the Whole Foods with it. How did you end up a Manchester United fan? And I say that now. Before, it used to be like, oh, you glory hunter. But now that's not happening.
I first got into it. I think it's pretty... I think that conversation about how you get into a football club when you're not from the area, yeah, I think it really differs from many fans all around the world. And I think nowadays it's become a lot more traditionally acceptable. Mm-hmm. Whereas back then when I said that, oh, I got into Manchester United because I loved Park Ji-sung. That was my hero. And when he joined Manchester United, it meant the world to me because a South Korean playing in the greatest league in the world and representing a team like Manchester United, I felt gratitude to the club for giving a South Korean like myself an opportunity. And how can I not fall in love with a club that gives my people a chance? You know what I mean? So I fell in love with it. And even after Park left, I realized that I just love the club and I support it and I back it forever. And it's not like a one-time thing. And I eventually got into it. But in the beginning, it was like, oh, Park left. Get the hell out of here. You're not welcome, yeah, whatever. I had to sort of fight my way through that. And I think all that sort of those trials and tribulations really helped me to build this craggy exterior that, yeah, allows me to support this club.
I mean, what's the we've spoken to several content creators that maybe even support particular clubs or do content around particular clubs, and even ourselves being American, you know, I'm an Everton fan, Alexis is Arsenal. But when, you know, sometimes the response, or at least before we actually went to London and to Liverpool to interact with supporters, we thought it would be like mostly negative. Like, oh, you know, you see the comments on the internet, you know, it's called soccer. I mean, it's called football and blah, blah, blah. But what's been the response for you from Manchester United fans in Manchester or all over the world? In positive and negative, but because I've sort of seen both. But how would you describe it?
Oh, it's it's been incredible, honestly. I think I tell people all the time, I feel like Manchester is my second home. I go there all the time, and people are absolutely amazing to me. And it's not because I'm a superstar or I get like a special treatment. They just feel like family to me. And I have to give a quick shout out to my people at Stretford Paddock because they helped me to helped Manchester United fans, not just in Manchester, but all around the world, see that there are fans outside of Manchester that have the same level, if not more, energy and dedication and love for the club that they all support. And when I go to Manchester, the first time I went was in 2017. I actually had people show up to me and be like, yo, dude, I saw your video on Full Time Devils. You know, I love hearing you talk about Manchester United. I got emotional thinking about it. I still remember like it was yesterday. It was like outside Hotel Football and just some random dude just came up to me. He's an older gentleman than me. He's like, mate, you know, I love your videos and, you know, I love your takes on Manchester United. And to me, that meant the world.
Getting welcomed as an American.
Yes.
It feels great.
Yeah,
I remember the first time I did Arsenal Fan TV, I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. I was like, the responses are going to be horrific. And the comments are like, love this guy. Mm. Love how positive. Because I think it's also as Americans.
The Arsenal Fan TV fans were like, I love you were yelling Obama blood clot. Yeah, yeah. Over and over. And they loved it. They loved that you said that.
And they were like, you know, it was rude because you were at a restaurant and they were asking you what you want to eat. And that's not on the menu. But I think The negativity came later when I started doing CBS and had an opinion about Manchester United. And any opinion about Manchester United, unless it's I love this team, yeah. Archie Sung.
There's a lot of, anytime anyone disagrees with Alexis, they have to say why they disagree with him and also call him fat.
Fat American clown.
They can't like let go of that part.
It's almost as if they also disagree with me being fat. You know what I mean? In which case, get in line.
They have just strong opinions on your weight, and they have to let you know.
I actually have a question. You must be. I know it's your life's goal is to meet Park Ji-sung. Are we getting close to that?
I think so. Getting a little, like, I'm inching closer and closer.
Yeah. The trail's getting a little warmer.
I feel it. Okay. Like, it's like a gut feeling here. It's like, okay, I'm getting there.
Again, I'm not a Manchester United fan, but I do have a favorite. Is it Ji-sung Park? Park Ji-sung? What?
So it's...
Because people say Sun Heung-min, Heung-min Sun.
So the name Park is the equivalent of our last name here in America. So, but in Korea, you address the last name first and then followed by the first name, middle name. And I think Ji-sung Park was obviously... the more widely heard name because
in America
or anywhere else, because you know South Korean footballers never really got that kind of limelight.
Yeah.
And now people are addressing this idea that like, oh, we need to rearrange the way South Korean play people call it. I personally don't have a preference. It doesn't matter to me if you call him Park Ji-sung or Ji-sung Park.
Gotcha.
You know, I think it's just, I feel, if anything, I feel more thankful that you take the attempt to call it the way it's pronounced in Korea.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Because we have respect for the culture.
Yes. We collectively.
Here's my favorite Park Ji-sung moment. Uh-huh. I'm not sure if you're aware this is a Park Ji-sung moment. There's a very famous clip. It's become a GIF of players training.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know where this is
going. See Ronaldo's head pops up. Mm-hmm. And he notices that a player next to him is very well endowed.
Okay.
And then he kind of questions it. And then he looks down and then he questions himself.
Yeah.
All very silent, just miming. And then he goes back to working out. The endowment, if you will, the crotch that pops up, that is Park Ji-sung.
Okay.
So it has been revealed by, I believe, Rio Ferdinand and a couple of his players. Figure it out based on where they were and blah, blah, blah. I don't think people would know it was Park Ji-sung. That's the problem.
No.
You just have to go like Ronaldo crush suspicious. I don't know how you would search this.
Maybe on Jiffy or wherever.
No, I would just search for it. I bet you it pops up.
Okay.
One. Now that we know this is him,
yeah.
How much more proud are you?
He's putting us on the map. Come on, right?
I don't even know how to search for this. Ronaldo crotch?
No, you have to type Ronaldo.
Hey, this one.
Yes.
Okay.
So look, he's like, what? And now watch.
Uh-huh. Okay, let me put it on screen for everybody. All right, so
he looks down. He looks over. He's like, damn, bro. Wait, hold on. I wasn't told to bring that from home.
Okay.
He questions himself. Yo, Park Ji-sung.
Park Ji-hung? I can't be the first to make the joke. I'm just now, bro. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to have a good time. Okay. This is a pretty legendary moment. Now that we know who it is, I'm glad we put
some respect on the culture now, bro.
Somebody did the investigative work. To discover.
Rio, Patrice Evra, and Park actually talked about it recently in a Korean show. And they're like, that's the reason why Ronaldo left. And they were obviously joking about it. But
I too would leave.
Bro is doubting his existence. Yeah. No,
can't be swanging like that. We got a shower together, bro.
No, but I think for me, it's awesome to see things like that because Park was always known to be this very timid, quiet, reserved person. And then now that he's retired, he's still in contact with many Man United players. He's in the media, and he's not sort of overly doing it. If anything, he's still kind of in the realm of media, but in a very healthy Park Ji-sung way.
Yeah, and
I love
Speaking of that, he kind of like takes a backseat. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. There was a clip of Sun Heung-min sort of saying this is an idol and a legend, and he was like, no, and he's humble, and he doesn't want that. He almost wants to live more of a regular private life. Nah, dog. You play for Man United. You don't get to do that. Not when you got this thing.
Yeah, drop the OnlyFans, bro.
Straight up.
Don't do that.
Also, Did you know weapons like that are illegal to carry in England?
But it is,
be strapped.
Even from a more macroscopic level, I think it is interesting, and even talking about him to this degree, because there is a, especially in American culture, the sort of emasculation of Asian men. That's been
seems to be kind of over though.
But it seems either with
K-pop cultural icons,
athletes, that are just growing in popularity.
Or the respectfulness of some athletes is like considered to be a weakness.
Exactly.
Because American athletes are big and brash and we come in and kick stuff.
So even though we're making fun of this this GIF and stuff like that,
wow, respect.
This is a great moment in Asian culture. I'm just really happy about it.
Park, we talked about it before. Like he paved the way. He actually literally paved the way for South Koreans and for Asian athletes. Nowadays, you're talking about baseball players like Shohei Ohtani. You're talking about all these, Heung-min Son is another player that's been mentioned. Without Park, those players, obviously, it might be a little biased, but Park, those players won't have an easy sort of transition into this new world that they're coming into. And I think Park has been in such a massive influence in that respect.
Yeah, you heard John, bro. Squid Games would have never happened if it wasn't for
all that. That's on God. That's on God.
Would have never happened.
No, it's a strange way that we, I think, sort of even within football, there is that bias culturally, racially, with the American players. I mean, for years, if we didn't have the success of the Brian McBrides and the Clint Dempseys, do the future players have?
So they ran, so they walk, so we could run.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. But it's an annoying thing that it's always the white. A British guy, that's the standard. And if that isn't met by the other cultures, or if we don't understand what their footballing skills are really like, can they really play? Do they understand the game the way sort of we do? But this is, even as Hispanic people, seeing we always talk about junior Firpo, Dominican players that are succeeding in football, whether in La Liga or in Premier League. It's but it shouldn't. What is the why is there simply a bias just because of either where they're from or they may not be? If they're good enough, they're good enough. It's sort of an annoying thing that almost never go away.
I think that also comes from the tribalness of the sport. International matches started you played in your country, you didn't hear about how they were playing in other countries. So when the English style of being maybe a bit more brute, a bit tougher, same thing with Argentina, when they played each other, they learned a thing or two. When they played one of the Scandinavian teams and they were trying to pass the ball around, what are they doing? And for a long time the English, you say that you would drop your shoulder and just run into them. It's really where NFL style football came from. It was from that. So I think as they learn, they start to respect. But again, remember, Europe is so tribal. Because these countries, they're imagine if states were independent countries. We'd be Delaware, you can't play our sport. What you know in Delaware?
Okay, continue being a tax haven.
Yeah.
Stop, you don't know anything about this
you
game.
Got a lane, dog. Why are you trying to get into our thing?
I'm trying to hide my money in your state. That's
not trying to watch you play our sport. I think there's part of that. But I think now it seems pretty common, especially with the rise of the South Korean national team.
Right, right.
And, obviously, players going to PSG and Wolves. And there's just, all of a sudden now, I'm not saying South Korea is Brazil by any stretch of the imagination, but it feels like a corner has been turned. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to the Korean national team. And Jurgen Klinsmann, who we as American national team fans have a little bit of history with. What were your thoughts on how this whole thing went?
It, honestly,
the Jurgen experiment.
It's been a nightmare to say the least. And I have all the respect for Jurgen Klinsmann, and I have respect for the KFA, of course. But as a South Korean fan, watching the way this panned out since last year, there's allegations of how he was hired, the processes behind it, all of these sort of behind the scenes things that has been reported on a rumored basis. Nothing has been good for us. I mean, Jurgen Klinsmann, one of the things that irked South Korean fans is if you're becoming the manager of South Korea with the eventual goal of potentially taking the club. If you have the goal of eventually taking the team to the World Cup, that's a prestigious honor. It doesn't matter what country you're managing.
Facts.
If you're going to manage South Korea, you have to learn the culture, the system. Not saying I don't need to see him doing a full BTS dance and singing Korean. I need to see him showing a little bit of the bare minimum.
He's like, just eating tteokbokki on the side.
Like, you know, like just,
oh my god.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, kimchi on the vibes. I don't need that. I just need the bare minimum. And it's the first impression that irked many South Korean fans, rubbed South Korean fans the wrong way. He claimed that he didn't want to live in South Korea because he wanted to be closer to the European players. But he was out in California.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah, yes. Man. And like the flight from South Korea and Los Angeles versus Los Angeles and Europe is not that big of a difference. Mm-hmm, right. If you're going to say, I just want to stay home and I want to just chill in the LA vibes, just say it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, don't make this bullcrap excuse. He said he says he needed to talk to the European coaches. Man's never heard of Zoom. What are you talking about?
You ain't got WhatsApp?
Yeah, what's so much? What? What are you talking about? Like you got people around you. You know, they can tell you how to use your phone. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it just really started off badly. And then the vibes, especially with respect to leading to the Asian Cup, completely eroded because there was a report surfaced that there was a lack in cohesion, lack in structure of organization with respect to rules in the pitch, in the training grounds, and all of these things obviously led to South Korea, Lee Kang-in, Son Heung-min, all the situation with Ping Pong Gate and all this crap. But
yeah, what happened there? Yeah. I heard it was over food and ping pong. I'm like, I think I've gotten a fight over food and ping pong.
Punch or something?
A broken finger. I know
it
that.
Was a dislocated finger. Basically, long story short, every team has team meals, right? You're supposed to, there's a moment in the day where you all have to sit there and eat together. Mm. That's supposed to be a rule. But Jurgen Klinsmann never set these rules for any of them. It was just kind of like open free range. Like, y'all do whatever you want to do. And you know the Young Bucks, especially like the younger generation now, they do whatever they want to do. Yeah, you know what I mean? So he was like, Lee Kang-in, the PSU player, mm-hmm. and some of the other Young Bucks were like, oh, we just finished eating. We want to go play ping pong. But Sonny, who's the team captain, who's led this team for many a times.
And he's for real the leader.
The leader of leaders now. If he says it goes, facts. You know what I mean? And he was like, nah, that's not good. Like, this is team dinner time. Y'all supposed to be here. It doesn't matter if that man's still eating. Everybody got to wait till everybody's done.
Right.
The Young Bucks didn't like that. So apparently allegedly, the vibes just completely crash and then they start tussling. And then, you know, Sonny maybe potentially allegedly put his hands on the neck and things like that. And then eventually they start scuffing. That completely blew South Korea Open. Like that news. Those are two South Korea superstars.
That's huge.
Yeah. Massive.
These are A-listers in South Korea.
S-listers in South Korea.
Oh, they're top tier.
S-tier.
Yeah. Also, I want you to be my lawyer because, officer, I didn't choke anybody. I put my hands on their neck.
Okay. We got to describe it accurately. Yeah.
My hands are wide open. It wasn't bent.
Yeah. We don't. There's no way to measure the pressure.
So,
you don't have a pressurometer.
with situations like that, you always look to coaching and leadership. I mean,
right.
I guess it's not to the same exact degree, but the sort of the issues like with Gio Reyna at the World Cup, and people are sort of kind of blaming Greg Berhalter for like not sorting out this kind of the situation beforehand. Right. And you know, even Alexis and I disagreed about like this weird vote of like if he should leave the World Cup or stay, and he put that on allegedly put that on the players. To me, that's just like
a lack
of leadership from a coach to just say like, yo, this is how it's going to be. And this is how we're going to kind of run things. So yeah, Jurgen Klinsmann he's been criticized for quite a long time. There's even when he got the job, there's a little bit of like, even the internet was basically saying like, oh, this dude is like failing upwards. And how is he getting 100%. These opportunities?
100%.
But then the weird thing is that, even though the group stages at the Asian Cup were like a little rocky, mm-hmm. it started getting like a little bit better, right? Even everybody felt like, oh, he's about to lose his job, and then they win.
Yes.
That felt like it was in spite of Jurgen Klinsmann.
So what people were saying was that structurally on the pitch, it was a mess. But there was always that little bit of individual brilliance that helped carry the team forward. So no matter what, Jurgen Klinsmann was playing a losing game. He was never getting credited for all these things. And meanwhile, all this is happening. And he's coming out into the press conference saying, I want all the South Korean fans to book a ticket to the final. Stay till the final. Go book your hotels. Get your ticket.
It's on me.
Then it turns out there was no control at all in behind the scenes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Of course it leaves a sour taste in the mouth. So look, I got all the love for Jurgen Klinsmann. Respect for you, my man. Do your thing. Good sir. But
just don't do it here. He said.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right. So I want to go back to Manchester United. And we should talk about the news right now with Paul Pogba, because that just
happened. What a place to start.
Just a couple hours before.
His name's Good Vibes, John. Why are you doing this to him?
I saw Fabrizio had tweeted about it.
Well, he also posted on his Instagram the full quote.
Yes, yes. So I just want to put it up on screen. But essentially, yeah, Paul Pogba is now officially banned from football for 4 years. And it's obviously he's a Juventus player, and he's been dealing with injuries the last 2 years essentially. And but now that we know for testing positive for some performance enhancing substance, I don't know exactly what it was, but
well, it's anti-doping. He was doping. I don't think it was performance enhancing specifically.
Yeah, I mean, look, just in case. In the specific quote that Paul Pogba put out, he I'm just gonna. It says, "When I am free of legal restrictions, the full story will become clear. But I have never knowingly or deliberately taken any supplements that violate anti-doping regulations." And you know, as a consequence of the decision announced today, I will appeal this before the Court of Arbitration for Sport.
Right. So he's banned for 4 years as of right now, but there is an appeal. So who knows?
Yeah.
How long or what that comes about?
Not a great scenario. You know, I think I'm a big fan of Paul Pogba. I love his play on the field. Love his personality, character, the dancing, the whole everything Graham Souness hates about Pogba. I almost like him more. So this is tough to see, especially the last few years. He has been dealing with so many injuries. Left Manchester United not in the most gracious of ways. But a lot of the comments, and I can scroll down even this, but I know that they're there. But a lot of the comments are just like, Manchester United ruined this man's career. He left Juventus to go back to Manchester United, and the dude was just an absolute baller. They kept showing the highlight. Remember the like 35-yard goal that he banged in? Everybody's like, oh, he's coming back to do this at Old Trafford. But just with that comment of like, you know, Manchester United ruined his career. What are your thoughts when you hear something like that?
This is so hard. It's like a dagger to the cross. Like, Pogba was one of my favorite players. And I actually tweeted this on the way to the studio. And I got roasted by the Man United fans. Like, how can you say that he's your favorite player? This guy wasted our money, our time, blah, blah, blah. I think everybody collectively wasted each other's money and time. It's not just one man that did it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Pogba has had his issues on the pitch, off the pitch as a Man United player. Of course, he should be taking responsibility for those wrongdoings. But you can't put the entire blame on a man when this entire organization was just off from the beginning.
Yeah.
There were so many problems. We're seeing now with the inclusion of Ineos taking over and when all of these changes and all of these comments coming up from these new sort of heads. It's been such I don't want to say this because my club is hurting me, but it was a poop show for Manchester United over the years. You know what I mean? And Pogba was a part of that. You know, so it breaks my heart. And I really feel like Manchester United, it's like, it felt to me like, and I used to use this example all the time. It was like, you're dating a girl, and y'all just start saying, and then you're like, your breath stinks, and then you're like, no, I hate your mom. And then like, you know, there's certain words like that you say that you can't turn back.
Right, right.
And that was the relationship with Man United and Pogba. It was just, it got to a point where you just couldn't turn it back. And I think that was the bitter part of the departure. But to blame it all on one man, I think that's very unfair.
I completely agree. I couldn't agree more. Also, there's a list of players that, quote unquote, were ruined by Manchester United. You know what I mean? Lukaku, another example, went there and didn't live up to the hype that was surrounding him beforehand. And it seems like maybe that wasn't completely his fault when it comes to Pogba.
Well, there tends to be, especially with Manchester United, there seems to be a scapegoating of the players to hide the fact that there's institutional problems.
I mean, now you can't hide it now, right? It's pretty well known. Are you Ten Hag in or out?
Absolutely, I'm Ten Hag in. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Absolutely. Y'all heard that? Absolutely.
You got one man. It seems to just be you. Even Ten Hag might be Ten Hag out at this point. But you got a chance to meet the team.
Yes.
What were the vibes there? Are they the Good Vibes United?
Oh, it was Good Vibes all the way. I remember going to Carrington, and I was just standing there and there was like a couple of other groups that was there, but I was the sole person with the Adidas team. And there was an opportunity, a photo op, as the players were coming out to enter the training grounds. they gave you an opportunity to take pictures with the team. And a couple of the groups, they all went. There was like a 20-man group, a 10-man, a 4-man. And then last, I was going up, and then I thought my guys were going to come with me. And they're like, no, John, go, go, go. So I'm walking up to the whole squad. They're looking at me. So I'm like, what?
Can we pull up the photo? It's his, pinned on his Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like the team wanted a photo with you. And they were, like, afraid to get near you.
So I walked up. And then as I'm walking up, my mind's gone. So my New York's coming out. I'm like, oh, damn, deadass, this is happening right now? No way. And then I looked and I got there. And I was like, hey, what's good, everybody? And they all started cracking up. And then I remember looking, because, you know, Casemiro and Rasmus, they're like two of my favorite players right now in the squad. So I was like, yo, Casemiro, my guy. And then he's like, hey. And then I turn around and I look at the camera guy. I go, God damn, I can't believe this is happening, man. And then on my left, I hear somebody go, God damn, man, I can't believe it. It's just, and I turn around, it's Anthony. He's just staring me down. I'm like, you mother.
But
it was good vibes. But it was great vibes. Yeah.
That's crazy. Also, you're just as tall as Rasmus Højlund. Doesn't he seem so much taller on
the
day?
But footballers are usually not as tall as
But he's one of the tall ones.
Yeah, I guess
It's the ratio. You know, he's got long legs. I'm 50, top 50 bottom. That's the issue.
He's 70 bottom. There
you
go.
That's the ideal. You know
I have a friend who's top tall. That's what we always call him. He might be 80% torso.
No, this is a dope thing, man. I know, you know, for sure, it's like a to go from just like being at home watching these guys play and watching your club play, and then you just like you're on the training ground, kind of interact. And we've had similar experiences, and it's just like you sort of just can't believe it. There's a little bit. I know it's for me. Sometimes I'm just like. This should be for an 8-year-old. Like an 8-year-old should be experiencing. I feel like I'm 8 right now.
I see an 8-year-old doing it, I'm like, why ain't it me? Why I gotta be that
how
damn
did he
8-year-old?
Get there?
Why do they have so much and I have so little?
Okay, look, Alexis and I have a very different philosophy.
Slightly different perspective. It also kind of looks like Lisandro Martinez is mocking you and Anthony. They're both doing your stance.
No, but it was such good vibes. Like, as soon as I walk up to them and I was just like, hey, like, what's good, everybody? You can clearly tell that they sort of were like, oh, this guy's fun. Mm-hmm. And I love that about it. And it was just a dream come true. Just to,
Getting yelled at while they're trying to eat dinner. The fact that you showed up and said hello is probably just a nice positive.
It is an interesting thing. Look, a lot of these guys are very young and probably go from, you know, 2 or 3 years prior to, like, being on the first team. Mm-hmm. They're watching Good Vibes John. They're watching the content. And they're watching the criticism, they're watching the praise, they're watching everything, and then they're on the team. Mm. And then it's like, now flex, now Good Vibes John, now Adam McCullough. It's just like, bro, I don't want to get in their crosshairs.
Adam is probably the one who's more critical out of the three people you just mentioned. Also a friend, shout out to Adam McCullough.
Shout out,
but flex, I think, is probably
shout out flex.
Of the people who can be critical, that aren't just like, I'm here for the positivity, that can be critical. He seems pretty level-headed when it's against Manchester United. And then you talk to him off camera, and you're like, oh, you're the same way here? I don't get
I don't get the
real tough part, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's an interesting thing. How do you try to balance? I mean, we think about this a lot, too. Like, how do you try to balance that deep fandom of, like, yo, I hate that this dude is in the lineup. I hate the way they're playing. And then also, like, you know, I want to work with the club a little bit, you know?
I got to keep the brand safe.
I'm learning about that more and more as we go now. But,
it's a journey.
Yeah, but for sure. But I think it's also about the difference between criticism and abuse. And I think many fans don't really understand that there's a line to be drawn. Criticizing a player, that's acceptable. And I think Manchester United, the club itself, in terms of working with fans and content creators, they also understand that it's our job to speak our truths in our minds. It's about how we deliver that. There's many people that are out there just completely disrespecting and abusing some of the players, which I think is way over the top and unacceptable in many ways. But, you know, criticizing, and I'm pretty sure I've been doing this since like 2012, since David Moyes was here. I'm pretty sure I've said something that was pretty much like a little over the top, maybe out of emotion, you know, frustration at some of the players. But like, for example, Rasmus Højlund, before he joined Man United, I think it was around January, I was looking at a player called Ademola Lookman, the Nigerian player.
He was at Everton.
At Atlanta. And he was feeding service to Rasmus. And I remember I was doing like a research on a kid, and it was Joma and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, I like this kid. And then immediately he got linked to Man United. So I started doing full research onto him. I started making videos on why Man United should sign him. And he started watching all my videos. I see him on my stories and whatnot. Yeah, so I'm thinking like, oh man, maybe there's something here. Like, oh, this is cool. And then eventually after, you know, talking
maybe
about
maybe you're the reason.
Send the check, man. Send the check, Man United, because I convinced them.
Get a cut at least. A finder's fee. There has to be anything.
You know, an influencer fee of some kind.
Give him the contract. Can he get an autographed kid at least?
He said, so I got an autograph that day from Rasmus. Yeah, and I told him how much I loved him because like these things for me, it means the world when, you know, these players, when whether I speak poorly of them or whether I speak highly of them for the criticism or the compliments, at least some of them are watching and they're, you know, being receptive, at least especially Rasmus, because when I went, he was like, he kind of gave me
that.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, look, that's a thing where, you know, sometimes we all get sort of caught up on like numbers and how many followers and whatever. But then sometimes you put out video and it happens for us. Usually a lot of like MLS players or something like that. But then they're like either leave a comment or you know, on some joke or something that we did. And it's like, all right, this video got 8 views, but 2 were MLS players. Yeah, bro. Like, yeah, that's crazy. You're like that.
Or like I put something up and like Tim Whale was like, nah, this is crazy. I was like, oh, okay. Oh yeah!
I actually had a crazy moment like that recently. I remember posting a video, and then I got a like, and it gives me a notification, and some dude was like, "Yo, Usain Bolt liked your video," and I was like, "What?" And I looked, and it said Usain Bolt. Like, I thought it was a parody account. I clicked it; it was Usain Bolt, and he kept liking my videos, and now he follows me, and I was DMing him. And I called him Mr. Bolt, and me and him we're not that far apart in age, but I had to write Mr. Bolt. Yeah, it's Usain Bolt. Damn. Yeah, yeah. And I told
you
my
you are
mom,
far apart in accomplishments.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
The man is earned the Mister.
Yeah, I was like Mr. Bolt. It's an honor, or whatever.
Senor Bolt.
Senor Bolt.
Just in case.
And I told my mom. I was like, Mom, Usain Bolt is following me. He's like, who's Usain Bolt? I'm like, you crazy.
Yeah,
and I told
him,
he's like, oh, Usain Bolt, the Olympian. He's like, what are you so special that Usain Bolt follows you? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
like
crazy. A good immigrant mom to just bring
you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Humility. We got a Usain Bolt like, but not the follow.
We didn't get the follow.
But he's a United fan, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that helps. Fan. Okay. You know, putting a good word.
You thought he could play for United? You slow down.
You
may not have been told this a lot of your career.
I'm physically unable to slow down. I cannot. Yeah. I literally do not know how. Dude, that's awesome, man. Look, I love moments like that. It makes kind of this journey that we're on like significantly more special. It is. It's cool to have fans. It's cool to have supporters. But just like those little milestones of like
when you break through,
it's like. It's one of those, like, I can't believe they know I exist. Insert random person here.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The other thing, yesterday was the FA Cup. We were at the Emirates FA Cup party here in New York City, which was dope. So shout out to Emirates for the invitation.
Shouts to FA, the FA.
The FA, right. So we had a blast, and then one of the matches was obviously Manchester United against Nottingham Forest. It was a 1-0 victory for Manchester United.
Casemiro with the header.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
On a corner or free kick?
It was a free kick.
Free kick.
Yeah.
It took you a defensive midfielder scoring on a free kick.
Don't even give me
to beat Nottingham Forest, who is in a fight for relegation.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Dude, what are your first thoughts there?
I think throughout this entire season, if I can probably speak on behalf of Man United fans, we walk into every match with like a mild anxiety attack just on cue. You know what I mean? It's like the level of stress has been so much. And look, respect to Nottingham Forest, but their side, like Awoniyi, Origi, Elanga, like these players are all Gibbs White. They're decent players, but respectfully to them, Man United should be beating this team rather comfortably.
Yeah.
And so instead, we were pegged back, and it was like a nightmarish first half. And you're right; it took a Casemiro header to finish that.
I said this on the morning show, but the United we grew up with should be the club that walks into this match and dominates.
Absolutely.
Yes, you won, and you could walk away from that. You've had a pretty good record up until that Fulham loss in the league. you're inching up the table. You're showing signs of sort of getting it right if you're Erik ten Hag. Mm. But you still, there's still this question of like, what is it with the money spent on this club, with the money spent on the squad, you know, with a player who's playing to the point, and I do not like this guy that much, but Bruno Fernandes is playing well. You got to give it to him. You got Rashford playing with his back to goal, not what he's supposed to be doing. He's clearly not his skill set. Mm. And the rest of the team just doesn't feel like they have a grasp on what it means to be Manchester United. Do you, even if you win this FA Cup, do you think you'll still have those question marks? Do you think you'll still have that anxiety? Or of will course. You be able to breathe a little bit?
No, absolutely not. I am not going to breathe just yet. Because I learned that the hard way. Last season, we finished on such a high. I went out to the preseason tour. I was with Manchester United. I was doing all these things. I was like, this season's going to be phenomenal.
He's and like, yo, we bad.
Yeah, we're bad. I was all over the place. I was like, yo, you better start following us. It's going to be a wrap. And then just people, the players start dropping like flies with injuries and whatnot, and the season starts capitulating. I'm like, what the hell is going on? But with respect to your question, I think Manchester United, I think we've had a plethora of bad decisions, and it's just compounded on top of each other. And I think what we're realizing now with the Ineos takeover is that they're realizing, oh my God, how have you guys let this club run the way it has been for so long? And one of the things, you know, you mentioned the amount we spent bear peas on Jadon Sancho. Mm-hmm. Man said F off, he's out in Dortmund now. Antony, up until before Nottingham Forest, he was on the bench. He spent 100 M's on him. He wasn't playing.
He was your fourth choice.
Licha, again, another great player, not available. Rasmus Højlund, I've been screaming from the rooftops how important he is in terms of our style of play. You mentioned back to goal for Rashi. That's not his game. Rashi likes space in front of him, 1v1 taking players on. He's not a somebody rubbing up on his back like, you're not going anywhere, man.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, like,
that's
okay.
Not,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
not Rashi's thing.
He ain't,
you know
he
I mean?
Ain't Diddy.
Damn, bro. I didn't realize we were going to bring up Meek Mill, bro. Yeah. Bro, you know the weirder part of this is that I used to work for Diddy. This makes no sense, bro. I used to do IT for Sean
Diddy. Didn't he smell you?
He didn't smell me.
That was part of your job.
Yo, get me out of the documents, bro.
Redacted. Redacted.
It was for the cologne.
Yeah. Oh,
I will tell my story one day.
Damn.
But going back to the Man United thing, so you want to transition. Holy shit. But yeah, no. It's like all these decisions have been so bad on top of the injuries, and it's just all of these things compounded. And of course, it's so easy to just point a finger and be like, it's on Ten Hag, his style of play. Have you seen some of the players? Respectfully, Scott McTominay, I love Scott McTominay. I don't think he's a traditional midfielder. What he's been doing well this season, getting in the 18-yard box, scoring for us. Yeah. That's his game. Sofyan Amrabat, not a left back. He started that first half looking hella uncomfortable. Man was just smashing 5-yard passes to his midfielders. What are you doing, right?
Why are you still playing him at left back, though?
But some we don't have injury, anybody. Right? Yeah.
We have Luke Shaw was injured again, and he's going to be out for pretty much most of the season that's left. Terrell Molassia, I don't know where my man's gone.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. Yeah, some sort of long injury.
His talent. And you need that guy on the pitch.
We just don't have a proper squad, the depth required. And I got all the love for Sofyan. I followed him since Morocco. Yesterday worked out in the second half because Erik ten Hag realized that structurally we can't play this guy in that left back role in the system. So what he did was, rather than have him bombard that left flank, he actually inverted him so that he tucks in central. And eventually he became the support act to the midfielders, and he ball carried up the pitch. And that was why Nottingham was getting pegged back a bit. He was helping and supporting Bruno in that sense. And those are the things that I think has been such a difficult task for Erik ten Hag. Like, imagine having to sign all these players and half of them you can't even play. Like, I feel for him. And that's why, as a Man United fan, I really just back him even more, despite everybody saying, oh, it's Rashi's playing like crap, Bruno's playing like crap, Erik ten Hag sucks. And I'm like, yo, y'all got to just step back and, you know, see the bigger picture here.
But you trust him with another transfer window?
At least one more.
Oof.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Let's go spend some of that Ineos money.
Well, they got the guy from Manchester City. What was the, I forgot his name?
Barada. Omar Barada.
Yeah, yeah. So they, was he the?
Grew up in America, by the way.
Okay, no, that, so, yeah. But so it just, I think I saw some kind of quote from him. I think you sort of kind of inferred it of just like, you know, he got there and was realizing, like, you know, things are actually, like, much worse than they sort of seem.
it wasn't even just Omar Barrala. It was Sir Jim Ratcliffe, Sir Dave Brailsford, my man, the guy, Jean, I forgot his name. I call him Jean-Claude Van Damme all the time because I forgot his whole name. But like, it was all these people just saying like, oh my God, this shouldn't have been done this way. This should have been. And that's another sort of fresh air for Man United fans. Somebody like Sir Jim Ratcliffe just coming out into the media just saying, yeah, this is bad. This is bad.
Yeah.
When was the last time we heard owners just say this is bad? I mean, he comes out, this needs to improve. This needs to improve. The stadium needs to be improved. All these things. Like, it's a breath of fresh air for us.
Yeah,
Can I change one thing about Old Trafford? Why the clock count backwards? Why
it goes
Why does it count down from 90?
I don't know. It's our thing,
yo,
man.
Tell your boys, bro.
It's our thing.
It's just it feels like they're...
The match started, I'm like, ah! I'm like, 76!
It feels like,
I miss the first half?
Are we is it a cricket match? Like, is it the wrong sport that we're watching? It's just
the NBA?
It's such a strange thing.
You're doing quarters instead of half?
Marcus Rashford, we were obviously talking about him, but he did an article for Players Tribune, and there were a couple quotes that came out. He had said, quote, I can't accept some things in the media. I grew up here at Man United. I have played for this club since I was a boy. My family turned down life-changing money when I was a kid so I could wear this badge. So I don't know the context of all of that. But in general, he was a fairly critical. I have another quote here.
I'm not trying to have a go with the media. I understand the game. You know what I mean? They're not really writing about me. It's like they're writing about this this character, Marcus Rashford. It can't just be about me as a 26-year-old lad on a night out or a lad getting a parking ticket. It's got to be about how much my cars cost, guessing my weekly salary, my jewelry, or even my tattoos. It's got to be about my body language, the questioning my morals, and speculating about my family and my football future. There's a tone to it, and you don't get all that. You don't get with all... that you don't get with all footballers. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, bro. He's over it, dog.
I think we kind of read into what we're saying. What you're saying here. It's because I'm black.
It's a little bit... he's saying it without saying it.
Also, I think the media tends to portray him as a negative guy, even though he's done so many things like feed the youth, and he's done all these things. They still kind of... try to have a go at him, to use a British idiom.
Well, when we were watching the David Beckham documentary, and you saw the level of scrutiny that he was receiving because obviously he's dating a Spice Girl.
Hold on, getting a red card in an international match versus being photographed having be at a club are two very different things.
They are
two different reasons to have such a negative.
I mean, but they're both. Reasons. I'm not saying they're
valid
or credible or whatever, because the media is gonna just write about things that people might be interested in, whether they're false or whether they're true. So I think it's fair. You know, Marcus Rashford does positive things for the community, and they'll still find it some sort of negative spin on it. But I'm wondering.
Remember Raheem Sterling? It was like. Bought his sister a house and like spending freely, you know, foolishly.
Yeah.
He's buying this and that. Oh, he spent too much of his money. And then he says, I'm only buying my clothes at H&M because I want to be more frugal. And they're like, can't even buy dope.
Oh, a broke boy?
Damn, son. Spent all his money on those stupid houses he bought his family. It's like, there's always a negative way to spin it. And the part that's familiar with all of these, the variable here, is that it tends to be the young black players that tend to get this.
Of course, I agree with that. I think I'm mainly highlighting the fact that if you're pretty much a Premier League football, it's not every league, right? We've spoken to lots of MLS players. MLS players, they deal with some criticism, but they're not getting things like this.
MLS players are like, if you all talk about me in the media, I'll go by myself.
You happen to wave a pistol somewhere? Yeah, so you talk about
it's
me?
It's legal in some of the states we play in. I won't even get arrested.
So I'm just saying, I think it's the bigger picture. It's like, if you're a Premier League footballer, if you're good in almost anywhere, or you have, or you're on high wages, or you have high expectations, it's sadly, this is part of the job, and it shouldn't be, but it's like and I'm obviously not to deal with abuse, not to deal with racism, but the nitpicking, like talking about a parking ticket, talking about him.
The media just needs something to write about. And unfortunately, Marcus Rashford is fodder for that.
So I wonder, because, you know, when Marcus Rashford got to the first team at Manchester United, I mean, obviously the expectation was super high. He scored in his first game or pretty early
debut,
on.
He scored in his Prem debut, his Europa debut. He's flying.
I'm a fan. I love watching him play. But there is like this, I don't know. Like, I wonder, I guess my main question is like, does this get to him? Does it actually affect his play on the field?
The fact that he has to write things like this, I'm pretty sure there's an element that does get to him. And I get so pissed off at fans that attack Marcus Rashford. Yeah, he might not look like, you know, he might not look like he's interested. At times he might look disinterested on the pitch, but players go through ups and downs. It's about how you back them and support them through the tough times that make you a fan of the club and the players that play for the club. Marcus Rashford, I'd understand if he just joined last year and, you know, he was saying just a bunch of nonsense. He's the complete opposite of that. He's been like a Mancunian Brent Thurf, born in Withenshaw. He's climbing through the ranks, making his debut, surprise debut. As a young lad, in that moment when he needed to step up, he stepped up and he's been phenomenal for us. Yes, he's had his ups and downs, but the fact that people attack him, I'm more upset at Man United fans attacking him than non-Man United fans. Because y'all can have your fun. Like, Everton fans and Arsenal, y'all can have your fun. But if you're a Man United fan just completely attacking him, lacking character, lacking professionalism and all these things, like, I understand making a comment about, maybe he shouldn't have done that is one thing. But going over the top saying, like, oh, he's Marcus trash or whatever, all these quotes and these, like verbal abuse, like, I'm not for that. I think that's wrong.
Trashford. I never thought of that.
Thank you for bringing
that. It just fits. And I love the guy, so I'm never going to call him that. But I happen to love the guy. I think the part that's frustrating in general is this feels a little bit like an early goodbye. This feels a little bit like, let me say my piece before I leave this club that I sacrificed so much for.
Somebody asked me, what would you say if Marcus Rashford was actually wanted by somebody like, for example, PSG? And I said that I don't want him to leave, but I wouldn't be surprised if he left because the relationship has sort of worn down to a point where it might be just better for both parties to walk away and maybe, you know, start afresh. And that hurts me to say because I think Marcus Rashford should and will have a bright future, but... at Man United, I want that to happen, but if it's gone to this point where Marcus has been just attacked by all sets of fans from all over the place, then, you know, at the end of the day, then maybe it might be a good opportunity for him to, you know, start fresh.
Yeah, he's got a genius idea.
Go for it.
What if
you've never had a non-genius idea?
That's so fact.
I'm surprised you even had to clarify it to say that
it was
a genius idea.
The problem is society just isn't ready for some of my ideas, but, well, oh my God, in the future. They're going to be like, man, that guy said it all. What if he goes to Bayern and Bayern becomes where you go when the English media has dwindled your confidence down?
You make it sound like Bayern is like
the halfway house?
Like
the rehabilitation
way, the
home?
Way Australia was a prison for England. You know?
But this is for teams. Players like that are too good for the way the media scrutinizes them in England.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get to go to Bayern.
Well, there is a fair amount of scrutiny in Germany as well, and for Bayern Munich. So it's not that it doesn't exist anywhere else.
Harry Kane's already there. Eric Dier's there. And Alphonso Davies is going to Bayern Munich. Guerrero's there. He doesn't push as far forward. So now you got Marcus Rashford there. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad. I think I like what you say about the, you know, how being mad at Manchester United fans that would criticize him harshly, because the just even saying like the supporters should back the players, especially in the times where they are like in a time of need, where they might be struggling on the pitch. And that tends to be, you know, we've gone to Germany a few times and gone to matches, and supporters have, especially at Dortmund, they have like a strict, you don't boo the players for, doesn't matter what, like you can have a bad game. Like you just, that is crossing a line. You have to support them at all times. And that sometimes can feel like a weird, like toxic positivity where we're not even, we can't even criticize them. But that is, I think there's something that during those 90 minutes, it is, they need us. We're the supporters are almost just as important as the players on the pitch.
Absolutely.
And they need us right now. And that's the thing that it's not very Premier League, right? It's not, that isn't, well, the 20 Premier League clubs, the fans will let you know right there if they're not happy with your play.
Sometimes in a sarcastic rhyming chant. So y'all made a song about me? About how much how bad I play? Damn.
So like, I wonder if like, you know, the it's interesting because that kind of even that kind of positive rhetoric sometimes may not be received well because people want to be negative and want to be mean towards players that they're not happy with.
Yeah, and I want to stress that like criticizing a player, I'm not saying that criticizing a player is wrong. If Marcus Rashford was out late at Belfast, if what he was doing was wrong and he broke the rules of what the club demands you, then of course he should be criticized.
Yeah,
and we talk about it all the time. These are footballers, star footballers that make dream money that normal people can't even dream of. I don't know. Maybe I could have come up with a better word there, but it's just like,
no, I mean, it's true. Like, there's not many people that are like, I should Uber myself a girl here.
Right? Well, man, one day we all wish we had that kind of money.
Maybe Mateo.
my son. I'm going to take out my
maybe
son.
Maybe Mateo's life is different. Okay. That's why we work so hard.
I'm going to just cash in all my investments again and make sure that he can.
Right. Listen, Diddy will never stop.
Oh, my.
And you will be able to Uber yourself a lady.
You started this, John. You're right. You opened this door.
You complicit.
Yeah, no, but at the end of the day, I think it's for me, it's about how Marcus Rashford responds that's more important than anything. And I think that response and that almost vindication or the road to vindication at Manchester United, it has to happen here. Yeah. I want him to succeed at Man United no matter what. And I'm always backing you, Rashi, my guy. You know what I mean? Come on.
Okay.
I have a question for you. It's a would you rather.
Yes, sir.
Manchester United wins the treble.
Oh,
okay. And in the final match week, you win in the final the domestic cup, the Premier League in the final match week, and it's the derby at Manchester City.
Okay,
in Old Trafford, you beat Manchester City to win the league.
Okay,
and then you win the treble, or South Korea wins the World Cup.
I knew this was going there. Oh God. Look. I would love to see Man United win a damn treble. I would love for that.
Yeah.
However, South Korea. Come on now. I mean, the World
Winning
Cup.
A World Cup.
Sonny lifting that damn thing, crying for the first time, crying actually tears of joy, not because he got knocked out in the round of 16.
Or broke a player's leg.
An Everton player.
We're not doing that.
He apologized. He felt bad.
He said cry, so don't open the door.
I had a whole argument with Adam. Okay, we're not doing that. Anyway, lifting the World Cup for South Korea, oh my days, that would be a miracle of all miracles. So Man United, because we've already won a plenty, let me just side with South Korea today. Ask me again another time on my train.
When South Korea beat Germany at the World Cup in 2018, what was I mean, it was just an unbelievable thing to watch. I loved it. It was so entertaining. But I mean, can you reminisce? What was that feeling like for you?
It was bittersweet because we were playing pretty poorly prior to that moment, and just hearing the broadcast, "Son of a man!" It all sprint. You just see that final shot of them sprinting. It's just empty space. Like you're just like, "Oh my!" It's edgy. You see, whoever watching, if you've ever seen my live streams, when it comes to Man United stuff, it's me just like, "Yeah." When it comes to South Korea, I'm always like, "Oh!" I don't know what it is. Somebody told me that it's just because I'm too much of a patriot. I have no idea what it is. It's just South Korean games are so much more emotional for me. Like the 2022 World Cup, I got clipped up because I was crying. Like I was like, "Oh!" And there's a moment where I get a phone call from my dad in the middle of the live stream because I'm just pouring my eyes out. And he goes, "What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You grown ass man.
You're embarrassing
you crying
our family."
By yourself. Yeah, exactly. And I'm sitting there like,
"Hey, yo."
He's like, you this age. He's like nagging at me in the middle of the stream, but I couldn't give a damn because South Korea is just beating him. Yeah. It's like,
he's
it's
like,
so
"These are not good vibes, my man."
Where are your wife and kids? Yeah.
I had a mortgage when I was your age.
Yeah, but it's just so important for me. Like at the World Cup, South Korea, almost kind of being like one of the more elite Asian teams, right? They're one of the more top teams in Asia in the AFC. So for me as a South Korean, the pride of South Korea, you know, getting far into the round of 16 and, you know, beating these teams that everybody says South Korea probably would get wiped by these guys, like the game against Portugal. You know, all these teams, like all these games, for me, it means the world to me. And for them to fight with their heart on their sleeves and all that energy and all that determination, like it gets me so emotional. And for me, South Korea means so much.
I know we're running late on time, but I do have just one or two questions just about South Korean culture seems to have just become a lot more mainstream, in particular in football. Brands like Off the Pitch.
Yes.
What they've been able to do. I've been on Off the Pitch for a hot minute to see what they've been able to do. Come to, what was it? Was it KicksCon? What was the thing they did? They did FootyCon, right? Mm-hmm. They did something there. They're doing for real collabs with big clubs and stuff. Just to see this next level of what's been going on with the South Korean culture becoming mixed in with football. Mm-hmm. Something that didn't exist when you started watching the sport. Yeah. Just talk to me a little bit about that. Just that vibe of like, oh my God, they're seeing us finally.
For me, footy culture, when it comes to the stance of fashion, when it comes to just literal just street culture or anything like that, it has always been very important. And I think Asian culture in particular has not really been on that main stage yet. And you know, you're mentioning brands before, like South Korean fashion has always been up there for me. And I think just now people sort of recognizing that angle through the scope of football, like, I love that so damn much. Like every in one of my streams, I wear a Korean brand. I don't know if there's free pub here, so I'll just name drop it. Yeah. It's called This Is Never That. It's a Korean brand.
Oh, This Is Never That is great.
Yeah, and they
I didn't know they were Korean.
Yeah, the Korean brand. Like nice. I've been
double XL.
Send it. XL. Yeah. No, but like brands like that.
I didn't know this was Korean. I have two This Is Never That pieces.
There you go. Like that. It's like these Korean brands are like coming through the ranks, and you know, you mentioned Off the Pitch. You mentioned all these clubs, and I mean all these brands now. Collaborating on a football setting, I love seeing that. I keep wearing their clothes because at one day I'm hoping that they send me stuff, and then you know we can do a football collaboration with This Is Never That. You know what I mean? That would be absolutely incredible.
In fact, their spring 2024 collection is called Ultras too. Ultras, that's a football thing. Wow, it's almost like perfect.
Serendipitous.
Right here, look at these three Ultras right here.
Christian, what's your size?
These medium, double XL, extra large, everything there. The last question I have is: Korean food has taken over this city, New York City in particular, in a way that I think the last time I saw this was maybe Latin food, maybe if you go back 15 years ago, where it just started becoming a lot more mainstream. It wasn't just go to the hole in the walls. Kot is obviously what a massive restaurant this has been for this country. I would love to go to Coco Doc if anybody's watching. Okay, can I please get a res? I'll pay for my own nugget. when you see this, one, does this feel like real to you? Does it feel like it's being Americanized? And two, what's one dish that you don't think has hit the mainstream that you think is next?
Oh man, what a damn question.
It's a great question.
I asked. Oh shoot. Okay. Well, the first part is it's awesome for me to see. I grew up predominantly in neighborhoods that were African American, Hispanic. So I grew up a lot in that culture, in that
getting
setting.
Roasted for your food, right?
I was taught literally to say arroz con pollo, like as a young kid. Like, yeah, I had to eat that.
You dropped that heavy, though.
you rolled the R. Arroz con
pollo. Like, no, but for real, like that's what I grew up eating with my friends, because I was afraid to bring my kimchi, my kimbap, my Korean foods because it smelled and whatnot. It was always that, like, you know, that like kind of like, I don't want to, you know, make myself look like a fool because, you know, I'm surrounded by non-Koreans. Yeah. Nowadays, as a grown man, seeing, you mentioned goat, like, that is an institution now in the world of fine cuisine. And they're doing it right with Korean barbecue, which is a staple of Korean food. Like, that, like, all of these things, it's incredible to see. Like, I have friends that are in the restaurant business, opening their own chicken restaurants, opening their own, you know, Korean barbecue restaurants. That's beautiful. For me, it's just more of these things should be supported, like these small businesses in particular. Like, you know, like it's not just Korean, like Asian communities. You know, I go out of my way to like support, you know, the local laundry shop that's got a Chinese lady that, you know, she's been always showing me so much kindness. It's an extra like 5 blocks I have to walk and carry my crap, but I go there anyway because I want to show them love. Like, I think we need to do more to support our own communities, and I think that's very important for South Korean. With respect to your question regarding food, there's this Korean food called Pajeon. It's like a scallion seafood pancake.
Oh, I know all about it.
Okay, let's get this on screen.
We actually ate it.
We did?
Yeah, well, we went to Five Senses. It's the scallion pancake that has the seafood sort of cooked into it.
Yes.
Oh, it is incredible. Mm.
Okay, this is correct. Is what I'm looking
at. Yes, that is it. Yeah, yeah. I think this, it's more like a side dish, like an appetizer. But if you get one of these, nice cold glass of beer. I don't even drink. A nice cold glass of beer. Oh my goodness.
All right.
This is no joke, by the way. Dip this in that little vinegar sauce. My G, we good. With some kimchi on the side. Yeah, banchan is incredible. I wish Latinos did banchan. You know, just bring out a bunch of little. I'm like, here we go. This has been incredible, man. Do we have anything else?
No, that's it. Yeah. John, dude, thank you so much for joining us. This is, you know, I like, you know, the the brand is very accurate to who you really are. You know what I mean? Like, you come in, you bring genuinely just genuine positivity.
Right, like, if I was serious Alexis and I walked in and do what I normally do, you'd be like, this is a complete lie. You match.
Y'all, you need to do a complete rebrand because you're not.
I feel like you should tell people that's sarcastic.
But this has been genuine. Not only, obviously, you're like just a really good dude and a positive person to be around, but you clearly love your club. You know the ins and outs, you know the game, so it's great to see Americans involved in the game, and
the American accent involved in this game is very important.
Exactly, because it's problematic to some people out in England, but my man knows his stuff, and it's just great to see. So John, everyone, make sure you go follow John everywhere: Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Good Vibes John. I know
TikTok is Good Vibes John official.
Yeah, yes. Because the ops got to you, dog. Damn,
bro.
he had to start a new account.
They waiting on our downfall, man.
They don't want to see us up.
Yo.
So go give him a follow. Get his account back to where it needs to be, because it sucks when that stuff happens. So Good Vibes John official on TikTok. And you live stream on YouTube as well, right?
I live stream everywhere.
Everywhere.
So weekdays I do live streams on Instagram. It used to be TikTok, but now I'm over on Instagram because TikTok done me dirty like that.
Yeah, dog.
But I also do lives every week on YouTube as well. We do our own live show.
You know what wouldn't happen to you if TikTok was a Korean?
Come on.
It wouldn't happen. They would have saw the vision. They would have said, yo, these are people's.
I just wanted to make sure I include this before. I grew up on comedy. I grew up on Bernie Mac. I grew up on Chris Tucker on Def Jam. And Russell Peters, comedy has been such an important part of my life, and like you guys are honestly to do this and to do your main job of comedy and things like that. It's for me, it's such a massive inspiration. So for me, it's like heroic.
You're too kind, man. Thank you so much, man.
But he's right.
He's right. we are heroes. here's our presidential medals.
Give me that purple heart. You know what I mean? With some purple drink.
Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials, on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and subscribe on YouTube as well, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Shout out to everybody watching on DraftKings Network. We appreciate you. And leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen.
Put your favorite Korean food in the comments.
Let's go. Okay. All right, everybody. We'll see you in a couple days. Cheers, everybody. Take care.
Love you guys.